Love the Lord, say amen tonight. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. And I want to share with you out of Revelation 19, just verses 1 through 10 tonight. I'm not going to, like Lee always says, I try to go overboard a lot of times, but I know I don't have any more time than that, and I'm going to stick to that area of verses tonight. And I want to talk to you about a church wedding in heaven. I thank God as we, in a few minutes, so we'll get into the four hallelujahs and go right into the marriage supper of the Lamb, so to speak. And I thank God later on in this chapter we'll get into a little bit more of Armageddon. And then eventually into the millennial reign in Revelation 20. But tonight I want to share with you some things that the Lord's laid on our hearts from Revelation 19. And as we go continuing understanding the book of Revelation tonight, I've got a couple verses here, and I'm not going to have you stand for 10 verses, but I believe that I'll read them and speak about each and every one of them as we go tonight. And I hope and pray that everyone's had a blessed day. I thank the good Lord for our Wednesday nights as well. And, you know, I got there, I was thinking about some of what Bob was teaching a while back, when he was talking about how what he was singing about, what made me think of it. I was listening to the words, and I was thinking how that over in the New Testament that the disciples come through the cornfield, they were hungry on the Sabbath, they got what they needed, because Jesus put the importance on the need, amen, not the ritualism, as he was talking about singing in his song and thing. I got to thinking about that. My mind went right over to Wednesday night, and I was thinking about Brother Bob's teaching, and what a blessing it is that that's how wonderful our Lord is. And plus the hallelujah goes right hand in hand tonight as well as we look at these four hallelujahs in a few minutes. And I want to also give you a little kind of a trivia about the hallelujah and in just a few minutes when I get into that and where it's located in the book of Psalms as well. I don't know, it may be important to you, but I thank God when you're dealing with praising the Lord, I think it's very important when we do that. But before I go any further, let me lift up and join right in with that prayer that Bob gave. And want you to just, like I said, tonight, just pray for us that the Lord will just come on the scene and that we'll just get ourselves out of the way tonight. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is. We thank you for the wonderful spirit that we feel here tonight. Lord, Father, you've opened the door and a window as well. Father, we rejoice and Lord, just with adoration and praise tonight, the voices that were lifted up, Father, I thank you for People's Valley Baptist Church and Lord, what this church means to Lita and I as well, Father, these wonderful men and women of God that are dedicated, Father, I thank you tonight for them being in your house tonight. And I pray that tonight that you'll just bless them. Lord, may this message tonight prepare us for the future. May we get excited in the anticipation of, Lord, what the future holds for every one of us as the bride, Lord of the church. And, Lord, I thank you tonight for that marriage and that marriage supper that awaits every one of us. Lord, and I pray tonight that you'll just, Lord, get us excited tonight. Lord, no matter what's going on around in our lives, there may be some things, Lord, in our lives that are not really going well right now. But I pray right here and right now, Lord, that we'll forget about those things for the moment. And, Lord, just have a great time listening to your message, not mine. And, Lord, the things that I studied, not mine, but yours tonight, Father. Hide us behind the cross. Get us out of the way tonight, Father. And, Lord, may we just put you first in all that we do. In Jesus' marvelous, mighty name, amen. Well, I thank God for when it comes to Calvary, he balances out our lives. And I know I was talking in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we have a tendency, some people do, they get a little too far to the left, a little bit too far to the right. But I thank God that because of his help, he keeps us right in the balance of our Christian lives. Amen. And tonight, if we look at Revelation 19, we're reminded of a joyous time that has come. You know, I thank God I'm reminded of weddings a lot of times. I remember a preacher one time told me that I've done a lot of weddings, but I haven't done as many as he has. And he told me one time, he said, you know, when you do as many weddings as I do, you think you've got it down pat. But he said, there's always somebody that'll throw a curb in there. He said, we'd rehearsed, and he said this man, the groom, he was getting married, and he was going to sing a song to his bride But the problem was he didn't tell nobody. He didn't tell the preacher. He didn't tell anybody that he was going to sing a song. Amen. And so right when it got time the bride, as she come up and the father was giving her away, right in that instant of moment when she got up there was a pause when they'd normally have a prayer. Man, he just let loose with some music of a song, and man, I'm going to tell you right now, he said that it was actually kind of hilarious, and he was hitting a kind of a wrong note there, but everybody got to laughing, and he just kept right on singing, amen, because he was singing to his bride. You know, I thank God that's exactly how it is. One of these days, as we gather around, we're going to be singing, and we're going to be singing in one of the most wonderful ceremonies that there's ever been. And I thank God tonight as we look at the church wedding that's in heaven in verses 1 through 9 tonight, we start out and we begin to look at a wedding celebration tonight. You know, I thank God as we look at this tonight, the church, I thank God that every one of us that makes up the body of Christ, I thank God that we have been a part of the church. And during that time between Pentecost, if I'll say it right, almost makes me think of another preacher that told me something. But between the time from Pentecost to the rapture, amen. You know, I get to thinking, and you know, sometimes you get to thinking, you know, all of these things that we've been hearing about in Revelation. You know, the thing about it is that 7 years that'll be there as soon as we're raptured out. I don't know how that time frame will be. I really don't. I mean, I've read it and studied it, but really can't comprehend that 7 year period that tribulation is. Can't comprehend it, amen. But I thank God, one thing that we know, no matter what, that as a church, we'll be raptured out in a part of something that has been going on for a long time. And we've been waiting, and before I came here tonight, I was thinking of the wonderful tranquility of not having anything else that we've all been going through in our life. Matter of fact, if you got somebody that's lost, by our hope and faith, that by the time this all takes place, they'll be saved, and every one of us will be in heaven, amen. There won't be no more of the worries. We won't have to worry about that one brother or that sister that we've been praying for and trying to get the message of Jesus Christ across. But as we move into Revelation 19, for some of the most exciting scenes in the entire Bible, we come to the end of Revelation 18, and it was there at Revelation 18 was the end of that seven-year tribulation period, so to speak here. And the tribulation ends with the Lord Jesus returning to the earth to take back that which is rightfully His. Amen. We get right in that time frame, and I thank God we see that wedding celebration. Here in verses 1 through 4, we see the work of His salvation that is taking place. Amen. As you break it down in verses 5 and 6, you see a wonder of His sovereignty. And then the wedding of His saints that are at this, at verses 7 and 9, and then the words of His Son in verse 10. That's another way to look at it tonight. But I thank God, as each and every one of us are here tonight, God brings this world system to an end at Revelation chapter 18. And I thank God of that destruction of that great harlot, and also of Babylon itself. And because of that, there is a delightful expression of praise that is going forth. In verse 1, as we start reading tonight, the Bible says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." You know, as you look at these expressions of praise, you find the word Hallelujah. And it's used throughout Revelation here in Revelation 19 in verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. It's used four times here in the book of Revelation. I thank God as we begin to look, I was researching that a little bit before I came, and I was looking and I began to see the different places elsewhere in the Bible. I thank God if I remember right, and if I'm telling you this right, of all the hallelujahs that are in the Bible and amens as well, we begin to look and we begin to see, first of all, this begin to take place also in the Old Testament. And I believe there's like a total of, if I was remembering, I'm trying to remember, I didn't write it down, but it was 28 hallelujahs in the entire Bible, amen. I mean, what I mean by that is because, I can break it down for you actually, because in the book of Psalms is one of the only other places that it gives the most in the Old Testament. In the entire Bible, there's 28, and there's four that is right here in these verses that are in the book of Revelation, amen, which is used in this same sense, amen. I thank God as it breaks down, I thank God of the 24 that are found in the book of Psalms and the four that are in the New Testament, there's seven Psalms, and this is unusual, and it may mean something to you more so if you listen to what I say. In just a minute, I'll get back into what I was preaching about. But there's seven Psalms that have one hallelujah in them. There's seven more Psalms that have two hallelujahs in them. There's one Psalm that has three hallelujahs in it. And I think God, I was reading about one that began with a hallelujah and ended with a hallelujah. And I believe that was, well, I'm trying to remember. I was reading it earlier, and I don't think I wrote it down. But I believe it was might have been Psalm 106. I may be wrong about that, but it won't take long. We can look there in a minute and see, amen. But I thank God as we begin to look at all of these different places in the Psalms that are reminding us, there is a point to this in just a minute that I want to talk about the reasoning behind that. And as we look at the delightful expression of praise here tonight, the word is an abbreviate of the word hallelujah. The word comes from the two Hebrew words, halah, meaning praise, and basically Yahweh, which is meaning Jehovah. It simply means praise to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, amen. Now you'll see that in the King James Version a good bit. It means the same thing as hallelujah. And I thank God this is an expression that very first appears, I believe, in the Old Testament in Psalms 104, verse 35. And check up on me on that. Make sure, amen, because I was reading that this afternoon, but I believe I'm telling you right, but out of all the Psalms, I believe it starts out with 104, 105, 111, 112, 115, 116, and 117, where there's one hallelujah in each one of those seven Psalms. There's two hallelujahs in 106, 118, 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. And then in Psalms 135, there are three hallelujahs. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but I'm going to tell you one thing I get out of it, amen, that we need to praise the Lord. And as Brother Campbell was saying, praise the Lord tonight, praise ye the Lord are the words of hallelujah. It's interesting that the word hallelujah is in the same in any language. In any language, I'm going to tell you, it's the same. It doesn't matter what that language is, regardless of one's nationality or one language. We all have one common word for praise, and I thank God that's hallelujah. You know, at this wedding, hallelujahs will fill the air as it says, much people. We see the word much people praise the Lord. And you know, there is not only a delightful expression of praise, but there is also a distinct expression of praise that is here. Because if you look closer, you'll find distinct groups praising the Lord. And John heard a great voice, he said, of much people, amen, that we see here and in heaven. And you know, there are some who believe that this is all the angels of heaven that are praising the Lord in a united voice. And an innumerable of millions of angels that are in heaven that are lifting up their voice in song and in praise to God. Now, I tell you, if you look down at verse 4 for just a minute, you'll see a couple other things. You'll see a couple things that it says like this. It says, the 24 elders and the four beasts, amen. You know, participating that are in the celebration as well. And one of the things that we begin to look and we begin to see in verse 4 that it talks about that, being one of the verses that we have here tonight that has the word hallelujah. Let me see if I'm saying that right. Yeah, right down at the very bottom, the last word hallelujah in it. I thank God as we see these people participating in this celebration. We've met these two groups that are earlier that are singing here, the 24 elders and the four beasts. Earlier on in the study of Revelation, amen, we saw the 24 elders as representatives of the church, amen. And the four beasts are living creatures we saw as the four cherubims and the four high-ranking angels as well. And in their expressions of praise, they use another word that is universal, amen, that is a word called amen. And I thank God as we begin to see that here. Amen. And these little words I got in front of me, I don't know why I brought this little Bible tonight, but I guess I wanted to challenge myself. Amen. Tonight as I looked at this. But as we looked at that, we see the word amen, amen. As they begin to say it, they are in agreement, amen, as the word amen is talking about. And you know, I think, God, the word amen means so let it be. That's exactly what amen means. It's another way of saying, I agree, that's true, I'm right on with you, amen. And I'll tell you, people, when you say amen, that's exactly what you hear. A preacher saying amen to somebody, I'm agreeing with you, amen. That's true right there. And I think, God, as we were singing earlier, my mind wandered for a little bit because I kind of do this. There's a barrier here that we can't see, but I sometimes, I let my imagination get the best of me. I get to looking around, and when we were singing, I'll fly away. I said, boy, I wonder how many angels heard over in this part of the country over here the words and the song of I'll Fly Away, and I wonder how many of them through the barrier that we can't see gathered around People's Valley Baptist Church and started listening to us sing. Those that have been saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus, amen. Hear that we're in a time of grace, amen. Listen to our church sing tonight, amen. You know, I thank God there's nothing better, amen, tonight as we listen to the praises that this church began to ring out when we sung I'll Fly Away, amen. And then in verse 5, John not only hears much people, but and the 24 elders and the four beasts, but he also hears a voice that comes out of heaven, amen. And I thank God here in verse 5, the identity of this single voice is not given, but it is most likely another angel. Let me read these verses that I'm not reading here real quick, amen. Amen. And the Bible said, let me read verse 4 since I didn't a while ago, and I'll go back and read the others. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And in verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. You know, I thank God the identity of this single voice is most likely another angel. I thank God this single voice that calls on another group to join in this celebration tonight. And as we read verse 6, it goes on and it continues a little bit more, amen, that it says this, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, amen. Boy, I tell you, I thank God the praise of this great number is described as the voice of many waters, amen, and the voice of mighty thunderings, amen. You know, this praise, it rises up to a deafening crescendo, amen. And this great multitude is identified as servants that indicates that they're redeemed saints in heaven, amen, during that time. You know, I think of all these wonderful groups that this Revelation 19 is talking about, the personalities that join their voices together in praise here. All of heaven begins to worship. Heaven rings with the praises of God's people, amen. The thunderous expressions of praise. And I think God here would begin to see not only the delightful expression and the distinct expressions, but it's very descriptive expressions of praise, because each expression of the praises is aimed at some particular attribute and characteristic of God, amen. Go back over now to verse, I got back finally to verse 1 and 2. I didn't leave them out, but let me go back up there now. The Bible says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Amen. Well, I thank God here we begin to see the salvation and the glory here. But it talks about, we find the angels in verses 1 and 2 again, or it says much people saying salvation and glory and honor and power, amen, unto the Lord our God. You know, I thank God here we see also in verse 6 that we find heaven saying hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know, God is to be praised for who he is. what He has done and His greatness, His grace, His mercy, His praise, amen. I thank God how exalted that He receives every bit that we have. And these are going to be wonderful times because we're talking about a time here where we're up in heaven, amen, and we're just having a hallelujah time. I thank God His person, His power are being celebrated, amen, a long time away from all of the hardships of all of our past life and everything that we've ever endured, amen. Here is a description of God that we're worshiping and praising, amen. And again, there is nothing that resembles a condemned man walking to his execution, huh, in this scene, amen. It's a scene of celebration, amen. Boy, today we think about Calvary every time, amen. Boy, I tell you, it's always the heart of the message is Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're preaching about birds, amen, like I did the other Sunday night. The heart of the message is always Jesus Christ. No matter in the shadows or the types, in the Word of God, in the parables, and in everything that is in God's Word, it is all about Him. And here, we don't have to worry about no more looking at the walking of the execution of a man going up to Golgotha, amen. Here is a time of praise that is taking place. The delightful, the distinctive description of expressions of praise that are taking place, amen. A scene of celebration here, a wedding celebration, amen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't really mind doing weddings myself. I really don't. I like doing weddings. I tell you, I remember another instance and about a guy that was he got tripped up and he was real nervous. He hadn't done any weddings and it was one of the first times he had done one. And then he got everything all crossed up, and you know it was tradition for the bride to kiss, or the groom to kiss the bride. I'm about to say it backwards myself, and I thank God that he was saying something like he got all his words mixed up. When it came time for him to say it, he said something like to kiss Mary and to cuss her. And it always mixed up trying to say, you may now kiss the bride, amen. But he got all of his words all mixed up. And I thank God this is a celebration that we ain't got to worry about anything else happening, amen. We're just going to be just like we were here tonight. We're celebrating. We're expressing a wonderful time. And here we see not only a wedding celebration, but a wedding ceremony that is taking place. Because I thank God of all the things that we take place and we go through, amen. I know that we don't have to worry about anything else going wrong during this time, amen. Anything that would happen that we're not aware of. Here are these guests that are present. We see in verse 9 a reference that is made to certain guests that are present. And I thank God in verse 9 the Bible begins to tell us this. It says, and he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You know, I thank God he used the word called there. I believe, amen. He said, they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, in other words, those that are invited, those that have been invited, and I thank God these called ones are distinct from the bride or the wife, amen, that is referring to in verse 7, amen. You know, obviously the bride would not be sent to an invitation to her wedding. She would be there, amen. Who are these guests, the question is? You know, I said earlier that the bride is basically all those who have been saved ever since the time of Pentecost to rapture, amen. And I thank God here we're referring to that age of grace and of the church age in which we are today. Here is a time when God is calling out a Gentile bride for His Son, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The guests are at the wedding. There's no doubt all those that were saved, amen. But those that are going through a time of the age of grace. And here we also see some of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints that are guests at that wedding, amen. I tell you, but I like to imagine all of those ones. You know, even during this time, this is an Abrahamic covenant that is being fulfilled right here. I thank God of this wedding celebration. It was a covenant that was not made with Moses, but it was made with Abraham by this taking place right here, amen. I thank God I like to think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Why, Ezekiel, all of the David and Solomon, man, I tell you, I like to think of these ones being around, amen. Every one of these people, all of the tribulation martyrs that have been through all of the horrible times that we've learned about over the past, amen. I tell you, I remember the many things. But you know, you talk about a guest list, and man, what a guest list is going to be there, amen. Everyone that we have ever dreamed about, ever heard about, but the bride that is also is being prepared. Because in verse 7, it says that the wife hath made herself ready. You know, I don't think I've ever seen an ugly bride, amen. You know, I've never seen one or two or any that's ever been ugly, amen. Every bride is a beautiful, beautiful, adorned woman, amen. And I thank God we, as we come together, are going to be beautiful, amen. We're going to be those ones that have made ourselves ready. You know, I get to thinking about that. I thought, you know, Lord, there ain't a thing I could do to make myself ready. It was all what you did, amen. You made every one of us righteous. You're the one that cleaned us up. You're the one that gave us the white and the dress, as they say, amen. We are as pure because you gave us forgiveness. You made us righteous. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, in our minds, when I said that, every one of us saying, oh, man, I tell you, I know I'm not. I know all of these things. Yeah, that it might be so, but God says, I put it under the blood of Jesus. And whatever you've ever done, and no matter how bad that has ever been, I thank God that every one of us are under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I see you. Amen. She didn't have to take her glasses off or anything from that, nigga. But I thank God, everything that we're talking about here tonight, even in verse 8, it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know, as according to the marriage customs in the Bible days, the bride would be bathed, her hair braided with as many precious stones as her family could buy or borrow, and she'd be dressed in a beautiful wedding gown and jewelry, amen. Now, I thank God that it would go on for a whole week, amen, 7 days that it would go. The Bible teaches in basically a biblical teaching that after she come out, her and the bridegroom come out after that seventh day, that she didn't have a veil on. It was off of her face, amen. And she'd come out and the groom would introduce everybody to the bride, amen. Boy, I thank God, can you imagine? I get to thinking sometimes, you know, who are we, you know? Who are we that he would say, look over here. But there's some people that's here tonight that really you don't realize what you've done, amen. I thank God here, a beautiful a bride as the church, amen. The Bible tells us that the bride of Christ is the church, dressed in fine linen, amen. A very expensive, beautiful cloth, amen. Clean and white, that the Bible says, the righteousness of the saints, amen. And I thank God, our church's wedding day, she'll be dressed in the glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ himself, amen. Paul gives us that description in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, amen. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, amen. Well, I thank God the church has gone through all the fires, the judgment seat, and boy, she's going to be rewarded at her wedding, amen. She'll be presented without spot and without wrinkle or blemish, amen. We don't have to always look like that chaste virgin, amen, of Christ's death. But one day, we'll be a beautiful bride, amen. And I thank God we do praise as well, because they'll be rejoicing and give honor, amen, as well. And I thank God there's a celebration, there's a ceremony, but lastly, there's a certainty about this. This is something that's not going to be put off, amen. This is something, amen, that is the truth of all prophecy. This is going to be something. You can mark it down. You can believe that everything you read in the book of Revelation is the true saying of God. There is going to be a marriage, amen. And there is going to be a celebration, which is that marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. Each thing will take place. Now, you know, I got to thinking about a couple things, and as I was reading about some of these verses here, I was almost like John, this is his seventh vision. I said this last time, and I highlighted some things. This is his seventh vision, and I believe that he didn't get a lot about this marriage. He only got a little bit of a glimpse because the way that I was reading these verses in verses 7 and 8, amen, and the way that I began to interpret them, amen, that it began to go forth, he wasn't able to get a lot about this wedding celebration, just a few details that we have that is in front of us here right now, amen. And I thank God, one of the things that I want to really close out and say this as well earlier that we were talking about is all of this ties right in again, and you've heard this said before, that this marriage is a representation of the Day of Atonement. And I thank God it reminds us of the book of Revelation that follows the liturgy of the High Holy Days, amen. Because back in chapter 4, after following all of the trumpets of Rosh Hashanah, upon the blowing of the seventh trumpet, amen, in chapter 11, we observe the opening of heaven's temple. And all of a sudden, marking the Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, as we say it today, the seventh vials of wrath that were in Revelation, marked out and poured out upon the earth, reminds us of the vessels that contain the blood of the sacrifices of the bull and goat. And I thank God, after the sprinkling of the blood on the ark of the covenant, the high priest would mix the two containers, amen, and it was the remainder of the bull's blood with that of the goat. And he takes them outside and dashes the blood upon the base of the brazen altar. And I thank God, I bring this up to show that this is a portion of the book of Revelation, amen, that follows the liturgy of the Day of Atonement, amen. It's a part of what we're talking about in the marriage supper of the Lamb as well. And it occurs late in the afternoon on the Day of Atonement, amen. And I thank God there is an observance that they do. They're not certain about this. None of the high priests today are certain about this. But there was another ritual of custom that they did back in those days, that they would go back in late in the afternoon and they would begin to go in and take care of that blood of the bull and the goat, amen, from the ritual ceremony. And they would enter into the Holy of Holies that final time late in the afternoon, and they would take the container of the coals and the incense. And man, one of the high priests that was writing an article on this was saying that he was talking about how well they went into all the things, washed their hands, took the robe off, it was never to be worn again. They would go in and put on the garments of the high priest, of all of the golden garments that was on it, the vestments that represented all the tribes of Israel, amen. And man, they would go through a certain ritual that they would do, amen. I thank God the girls, later on, after the all of the rituals, they would put on a white dress, and it would represent the exact thing that's talked about here in Revelation 19, that they've been doing this for years, amen. And I tell you, I thank God tonight, every one of us is that wife of the bride of Jesus Christ, amen. There's nothing greater about than a wedding that we talk about tonight, amen. I know we're out of time, and I ran over about 5 minutes or so after that, but I hope and pray that everybody tonight gets a blessing out of listening to all of the hallelujahs, amen, that are in the book of Revelation. Now, these are wonderful times because we've been talking about some terrible things that have happened in the book of Revelation. Now, these are some times that are on better issues, amen, for every one of us. And I'm looking forward to some of these things that are meant to take place. It may not be in my lifetime, but it will come as sure as it's been broken down in the book of Revelation tonight, amen. I hope and pray that tonight, whatever needs that you have tonight, there may be a need tonight, and you may need to make mention of it tonight, or you may have something tonight to say that I even raise your hand. I got something that I want you to pray for me this minute tonight, amen. And you want to meet that need tonight. Anybody tonight, anything that needs to be fixed, any announcements tonight before we go a separate way tonight. And there's something you say, I like you to pray something. You don't even got to say it, but you might just want to raise your hand and then put it back down. That's understandable tonight. If there's somebody that's going through something tonight, and I want to close out that way. If there's anything tonight, I like what Brother Bob was saying about the revival, amen. And I tell you, I get thinking about the revival. And that is our whole purpose in life today. I think that's the most important agenda in all of our lives today, is being able to do that great commission that every child of God will do.